हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
पेज 112 सूत्र 241 पूर्वपक्ष. We can suppose that the Lord accepts a body because of karma. Remember, because we're saying that he can't create unless there's a body. Right? Like the potter, because he has a body, that's why he has a relationship with the clay and can create pots. So then they're saying, okay, then we can suppose that the Lord accepts a body because of karma. Right? Once he's a king with very good karma, gets a body, control, and rules a country. Right? A person with bad karma does not get that result. So this idea is refuted in the next sutra. That probably is the thing, just this line, this idea is refuted in the next sutra. Drop that down.
Okay, Maharaj.
You know, so it's not the same paragraph.
Yes, Maharaj.
Antavanta tvam asarva gyata va. Antava tvam. Finiteness. Asarva gyata, a lack of omniscience, va, or. If the Lord had karma, he would be subject to death and lack omniscience. Sutra Prakashika, right? Because karma means you're controlled by something, there's something bigger. Right? Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar finally defeats the Pashupati, Shaivites, and other philosophies on parallel lines, saying that if the Lord is subject to karmas, he would be subject to death as well, which contradicts the scriptures. Previously, Vedanta Sutra 2.133, Lokavat tu lila kaivalyam. It was proved that the Lord performs the karma of creation without any ambition, but only out of his nature, which is full of bliss. Right, because it's his nature to be able to create, to maintain, destroy, like that. Footnote 64. Srila Jiva Goswami proves, quoting Shastra, that the Lord is eternal and hence is not subject to death. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. The Lord has no action and no senses. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8. This means that without senses, the Lord has natural knowledge. Yo sau virudho virudaha. The Lord has contrary qualities which become harmonious. Paingi shruti. Yasmin brahmani sarva shakti nilaye manani no mani nam. Conceptions cannot be established by philosophers concerning Brahman, the abode of all shaktis. Vishnu Purana 6.8.57. Right? Because they, what do you call it? They, means because the Lord being beyond the modes of nature, they can't, using the modes of nature and their intelligence, then create philosophies. So even the philosophies that do go on in the world are actually given by the Lord. It's just individuals according to their qualification, or lack of it, whatever it is, then they qualify for a particular philosophy. Yes. Then they take that philosophy up. But it's an already existing, like we see Jainism, Buddhism. Yes. They're already existing. And then people come along and then, become so-called realized in it and propagate and all that. So these things are always there.
Yes.
Right?
But now Nashatan then cease to own the philosophy.
Yes, they take that. And it's not a problem for Krishna, because if you're going to have pastimes, it's not that someone can't have that sense of identity.
Mm-hmm. So Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say you're playing a game. And so different individuals take different parts, and so you identify with and you perform that activity.
Yes.
So that someone would come up with a philosophy, then it's accredited to them, though ultimately it came from the Lord.
Yes.
Just like creation in the material world, we'll say, is given to Brahma, but actually the potency for that comes from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you always have that aspect because of the personal. It's not a problem that there's persons involved because the Lord doesn't have any false ego and doesn't have any need to establish himself.
Yes.
So therefore, someone plays the role and identifies, then fine, let's go with that.
It can be a witness. It can be a witness.
Yes, like that. You know, so it's not a difficulty. Like Arjuna, Krishna already has killed everybody on the battlefield, but because Arjuna then does it in service to Krishna, then he gets the credit.
Yes.
Right? And so someone on the material platform, because they are focused on the Lord from that material angle, then whatever angle they're focused on, then the Lord reciprocates and they get the benefit, you know, or the glory or not of doing that particular activity.
Yes.
So, one should not think that the Lord is not eternal because he has limbs, since he is different from all others, since he is the cause of everything, since he is the source of all Shruti, and is said to be eternal in the Shrutis. And this is from?
It doesn't mention.
But is this just his talking, or?
This is what he was only speaking himself. One should not think the Lord is not eternal.
But it seems it's in a different size or something, or it's not. It's just printed that way. It's exactly the same. Anta vatvam asar vagyata va. If the Lord had karma, he would be subject to death and lack omniscience. Brahma Sutra 2241.
Mentions that this means that without senses the Lord has natural knowledge.
Means he has no material senses. He has no material action, no material senses. That's why he said that he has these contradictory qualities, which become harmonious. So there's no material, but there's spiritual. But that still doesn't mean that he can't deal with the material energy, but he does that through his energies.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing, is all these contradictory qualities are harmonious in him. In anybody else, they're not.
Right?
Yeah. Saying Vishnu is not eternal and does not have all knowledge is contrary to all scriptures and is rejected. Right? Because we always have to take, as we said before, Shruti is the primary element. So that being the main, then we look at everything else. So we can't have that a philosophy will be opposed to what the scriptures recommend. Right? That's not a philosophy. I mean, you can call it a philosophy, you know. In some sense, like you can call an ambassador a car, but it's not actually. Right? Yeah.
It was.
It was up to 1955.
Okay.
It was I can't not know the size, but it was an Austin. Like that. So all they did was just keep the factory that was making that year's Austin, and then just change the name to Ambassador, and continued. You know, like Coca-Cola, then they became Campa-Cola. I don't know if any of you remember that one. No. Yeah. You know, so it's just that because in 1955 they made the things that there can't be any foreign companies. It all has to be Indian companies because it's all be Indian, buy Indian.
Okay.
And so all the companies, all the international companies left.
Yes.
And so then they were bought by, you know, Indians, and then they ran the companies. You know, but, you know, just like the lorries, not now the newer ones are a little bit updated, but you go back a few years, then those were the 1955 Mercedes trucks. And they just manufacture exact same thing, didn't change. Or like you see the bicycles, these bicycles, the funny curved handles and the
yes.
mechanical brakes.
Yes. Yes.
Those are also from, you know, I think those are from the 40s, you know.
why change?
Yeah, I mean, it works. Why change it, right? Because it's just this, like, any other truck you bring on the road would fall apart, but that one won't. I'm sorry, if you brought a modern Mercedes truck and ran it in India, it would fall apart. But those old ones, no, they don't. Doesn't matter. You get a hole in the tire, then they just burn a bigger hole and then put a bolt in there with two washers and just tighten it up and hurry ball. You know, so it works.
Wood is best.
Yeah, it's India proof, you know, or India compliant, right? You know, so.
Yeah, it's Indian for Indians.
Yes.
Yeah. They
want it. Yeah, so they got it. It works. You know, anybody can fix it, anybody like that, yeah. So, like, how did we get into that one?
It's contradiction.
Oh, okay. It means that it's, they can call it a philosophy, and they'll present it as one and try to intellectualize as it is, but it actually isn't. Only the Vaishnavism given in this Shastra, that's real. Everything else is false. It may be made of elements of reality, but that doesn't mean it gives you the result, just like Prabhupada gives the example of a mathematical equation. You have, let's say, 20 calculations to do. But if one of them is wrong, even though the other 19 are correct, the end result will be wrong. So even if someone takes aspects of the bona fide philosophy and then adds their own or changes it, it still won't give you the same result. Right? Like the sahajiyas, so many things they have that are similar.
Yes.
Right? They chant the holy name, you know, and all these things. But at the same time, it won't give the result because there's an element in it that's wrong.
Yes.
You know, or another example is, you know, poison in milk. Mm-hmm. It'll give a poisonous effect. It is milk, but it'll give a poisonous effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing. No one can make philosophy. They simply, with their intelligence, analyze, but that intelligence is given by Krishna, and then because of their interest, he reveals. But because they are seeing it separate from the Lord, it will never give a proper result.
Yes.
You know, and so no matter what you take, it won't be complete.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's only according to your mode, so it won't be...
Does
that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Saying Vishnu is not eternal and does not have all knowledge is contrary to all scriptures and is rejected. Madhva, in his commentary, quotes the following. Yan atmako bhagavams tad atmika vyakti kim atmako bhagavan jnanat maka aishvaryatmaka satyatmaka. What constitutes the Lord becomes manifest as non-different from Him. What constitutes the Lord? The Lord's very essence is knowledge, power, and specific shaktis. Yeah. So whatever is the Lord becomes manifest as non-different from Him. And what is He? He's the essence is knowledge, is power, and specific shaktis. Okay. Buddhir manonga pratyang gavatvam bhagavato lakshya mahe. The Lord has intelligence, limbs, mind, and subsections. Saddeha shuka gandhascha jnana bha sat para krama jnana jnana. Shuka shuka sa vishnu paramaksharaha. Vishnu has an eternal body filled with joy, knowledge, and powers. He is the supreme indestructible, the greatest knowledge and greatest bliss. Thus, transformation of Brahman, which is without limbs and with limbs, takes place by the Achintya Shakti. Right? Brahman has no limbs, but at the same time, he has limbs. Right? Still, Brahman remains without change. This is the conclusion of Shruti. Thus, parinama means transformation into something else in reality, without change of Brahman. Right? So that's what it means. It's what constitutes the Lord becomes manifest as non-different from Him. Right? So, he expands, his energies transform. It's still him. It's still real.
Yes.
Even our illusion, for us is illusion, but the potency that causes that is real.
Yes.
Wow. John! Impressive hat.
It's warm.
We're appreciating your hat. Good. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying even what do you call it? You know the king of Arabia would be impressed with that.
Magnificent. He had such a.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The magician.
No, he was the. I'd say the most powerful of all the Ottoman emperors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. He had a big hat like that. Huge. Okay.
Blue.
Blue, okay. This was gray. did we do that? Yes. Vishnu has an eternal body with joy, knowledge, and powers. He is the supreme indestructible, the greatest knowledge and greatest bliss. Thus, transformation of Brahman, which is without limbs and with limbs, takes place by the Achinti Shakti. Still, Brahman remains without change. This is the conclusion of Shruti. Thus, Parinama means transformation into something else in reality, without change in Brahman. It is seen that gems, mantras, and herbs possess Achinti Shakti. This is understood through scriptures, not logic. Thus, it is not impossible that the Lord has Achinti Shakti. Right? The mantra, you say the mantra, it transforms things, but the mantra still stays the same.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? The gem, you wear the gem, it has a transformation in you, you know, your health or whatever it is, and it still remains the same.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? You know, you take the herb, you smell the herb or whatever it is like this, it changes you, it doesn't change itself.
Yes.
You know, like smelling salts or something. Mm-hmm. It's not that when you smell them, then they turn into I don't know, a loaf of bread or something, you know. It's a little known fact what's going on down at the bakeries. They get huge amount of smelling salts and they just smell them all day and make the difference. And how you smell real long, then you get a baguette. You know, if you do a really short one, you get those really, you know, clunky German, you know, ones, you know, like that. So that's what they get. If you smell with a look, you know, a funny look on your face, you get sourdough, you know, like that.
So actually, the main point is to accept that something is inconceivable.
Something is inconceivable, and that inconceivable can do all these things and remain inconceivable.
Yes.
Even though it's all done, and you can even seemingly perceive it, you still can't understand.
Yes. Yes.
So in other words, it comes down to, by accepting that, but what do you have to do to accept that?
Hypothesis, at least to consider, maybe it can.
Yeah, consider, but then to consider what transformation in ourself is necessary.
Means to accept there is a superior personality.
Which means then,
Krishna.
Yes, God. and then our position, what happens there?
I'm not the center.
Yes, it goes down. So it means the false ego.
Yes.
Right? We have to be able to give up the false ego and this idea I'm the controller and enjoyer. So you see, everything is going for that point. I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Yes.
The false ego. It's a false identity.
Yes.
So trying to remove the ignorance, then is what the knowledge in the Shastra is doing.
Yes.
And in doing that, then it establishes the actual reality, which is Krishna. That's why Bhagavatam says, then the highest truth is establishing reality over illusion.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. And that illusion simply means our lack of understanding.
Yes.
Like that. Just because we're an illusion doesn't mean that the actual situation is an illusion. But we take it that way.
Yes.
Right? You know, from that Buddhistic thing, is whatever I perceive, that's the reality. If I don't perceive it, it's not real.
Yes.
So to
develop knowledge and keeping the false ego means a big problem.
Yes, that's the problem. That is the big problem. That's why it says real knowledge, then the symptom is humility. So if we see that someone's very knowledgeable and proud, then that means that they're not actually knowledgeable. Because then they think that they're the one that has the knowledge and doing, but actually knowledge comes from Krishna. So that's the whole aspect, is that because you can't become proud, you can't think I'm the controller and enjoyer. So sometimes, you know, the questions come up that why don't things work out for the devotees?
Yes.
You know, they're working so hard. Why certain material facility? Then the question would come up is, what would there be any transformation in their mentality if it did go well, how they want?
Yes.
Would they become proud?
Yes.
Would they become distracted? And if that's there, then why you do it? You know, you could say, why? Well, Krishna doesn't want us happy. It's just like the parents. Don't they want their children happy?
Yes.
But now let's say the child's sick. And there's a restriction on the diet. The child wants to eat that restriction, but the parent doesn't give.
Yes.
Why? Because if they give, they'll become more sick.
Yes.
But now when they become healthy and they have, there's no problem. So, yeah. This is understood through scriptures, not logic. Like here, Without scripture mentioning this point, would we ever have thought that mantras transform things, but they themselves never transform?
No.
We'd never think that, because the Achintya Shakti, because we don't think of Achintya Shakti, right? No, so if I can't think of it, it doesn't exist, so there's no such thing as Achintya. So that's the whole point, is that these things can transform other things without transforming, so the Lord himself can transform things without himself transforming.
Yes.
Right? So he's simultaneously transforming and not. That's the thing. With him it works. With us it doesn't work so good.
But we try.
Oh, we of course try. Must try. But at the same time must fail, so... Yeah. Thus it is not impossible that the Lord has Achintya Shakti, right? If even these things have. Since the Lord's Achintya Shakti is the root cause of all objects in the universe, having Achintya Shakti, for producing the transformation stated in scriptures. The theory of illusion, Vivartavad, of objects like shell devoid of such Shakti is not to be accepted. The author, because we say, is yes, it is Vivarta, because what you're seeing is not real.
Yes.
But it's made of real objects.
Yes.
But they're trying to say is, no, nothing's real. I'm using this as an example. You know, like here, they say, well, the king, he has good karma, and he controls everything, so why can't God have karma and control everything? You know, it's just, we just don't accept, because they're not working with real knowledge. Right? The author of the sutras who accepts that the Lord is to be understood only by scriptures confirms Parinama proved in this section by refuting what is seen by the human, like shell mistaken for silver. Paramatma Sandarva. Sri Govindabhasya. Siddhanta. If the Lord had karma, he would have a body and be subject to death. He would be like a jiva and would also not be omniscient. For a person subject to karma cannot be omniscient. Right? Because you can't, because you're subject to karma, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Samsha. So the doubt. But you also claim that the Lord is without destruction and is omniscient. Uttara. There is no fault in saying that Brahman is the creator, since it is based on Shruti. This was shown in Sutra 2.127. So it's established that it comes from Shruti. Shruti says it. So we accept it. If we don't understand it, then it's a matter of we don't have the qualifications, the adhikar, to understand. Then when that adhikar comes, now on the material platform means applying the intelligence, you know, practically into the situation, contemplating for a very long time, then the Lord may reveal. But even though it's the Lord revealing, you know, through his energies, about his energies, but still it will be contained within the energies. It won't go beyond. But if you want to know about the Lord himself, that then you have to perform activities that are in connection with the Lord. then only you may get understanding of the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah.
We need to chant our consciousness.
Yes. Because if you want to know about Anandamaya, then you have to function in Anandamaya.
Yes.
That's the whole thing. You can't function in one of the other modes,
yes,
or in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha,
yes,
and expect to get Anandamaya. Because you function in Dharma, you'll get Dharma. You function in Karma, Artha, you'll get Artha. Like this. Is that me?
Yes.
The independence of devatas is refuted, but they are respected as the Lord's servants. These five sutras are for the purpose of refuting three groups: worshippers of Shiva, Ganesh, and Surya. So in other words, the worship of the devas. So just because we've defeated doesn't mean that we don't properly respect these personalities. That has to remain. Right? Because they're servants of the Lord, so you have to respect them. Right? The ideas we see from 11th canto is getting to the point of respecting all levels.
Mm-hmm.
Since the reason for refutation are the same for all of them, each one of them will say the same kind of thing. They're all the same. When you get into this kind of worship, then you're under those modes, so therefore you're going to have the same kind of philosophy. Thus, the word pati is used to indicate all of them. The five sutras also serve to refute establishing the Lord as the cause by logical means. Right? Because you can't establish by logical means him the cause. You're established because of Shruti. Because someone may say, oh, it's not logical. Who said that logic will establish knowledge of the Lord? Right? Because if you want to say logical, is it logical that something of a lesser capacity can understand something of a greater capacity? So then, that's not logical. So then, so therefore, how do we know about what's beyond our capacity? That's through Scripture. So one has to have that faith. Srimad Bhagavatam reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:640. The personality of Godhead is pure, free from all contaminations of material tinges. He is the absolute truth and the embodiment of full and perfect knowledge. He is all pervading, without beginning or end, and without rival. 3:32:26. The Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is complete transcendental knowledge, but according to the different processes of understanding, he appears differently, either as impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the Purusha avatar. So depending upon what process you use, then he'll be understood. That's why then the specific, you worship Krishna, that's how then you're going to understand the Lord in that element of sweetness.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're trying to develop love for Krishna, then that aspect of sweetness is going to be the most favorable for developing love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the others will inhibit the process to some degree. Right? So that love that is developed, say, by the Brajavasis, that love you can't develop if you're seeing the Lord through awe and reverence. Or as the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, as Mahavishnu, or as you come down, it won't happen. You can develop love, but you won't get that pure unalloyed love and sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
So in Krishna, because of his nature of sweetness, therefore then worshipping him, then one develops that kind of prema.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that's what's then being offered. It's not that all these other processes aren't bona fide. It's just that since this is being offered, why not take it? So,
Maharaj, can we say that this Sutra 2:127 is the foundation of the entire spiritual knowledge?
Meaning, if it's establishing Shruti, it's the basis, but it's not the knowledge that's being established. It's Praman. But
yes,
then you have Prameya.
Yes.
So it has to be established as Praman is the thing, but you won't say that's the basis to developing love for Krishna. That's the actual basis.
Because until and unless one does not have faith in the Shrutis, then nothing will be progressive.
Yes, that's there. But that's it's the situation. It's the basis it's sitting on. But it's the basis meaning that this is sitting on the table. But what's on the table is actually the discussion.
Mm.
Yeah? You have to know that. Otherwise, we'll just say it's all about this, and then we miss the point. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.39. O Supreme Lord, you are not an ordinary living entity, appearing in this material world as a result of fruitive activities. Therefore, your appearance or birth in this world has no other cause than your pleasure potency. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for miseries like birth, death, and old age, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy. Right? So, the living entities shouldn't have these. But if they're under the control of the external energy, then they'll experience these. But otherwise, the soul will never experience these in a natural state. Footnote 65. Srila Prabhupada explains that the jiva, being entangled in his karma, is subject to birth and death. Unlike the Supreme Lord, who descends and enacts various leelas as a performance of his pleasure potency. So, when we descend down to this material world to perform our pastimes, then we become controlled by the material energy. While the Lord comes down to perform his pastimes, he's still in control of material energy and is unaffected. Like that. So, slight difference. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mamai Vamso, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and thus they are qualitatively one with the Lord. We can understand that when the Supreme Lord appears or disappears as an incarnation, there is no other cause than his pleasure potency. We cannot force the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. So it's not that we do something and then he appears.
Right.
That's why it's so amazing that Advaitacharya worships the Lord and the Lord agrees to appear. There's nothing we could do to get that to happen. Right? As he says in Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati parata. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. When there's a need to diminish a burden created by the demons, the Supreme Godhead can do it many ways, because he has multifarious energies. There's no need for him to come as an incarnation, since he is not forced to do anything like ordinary living entities. The living entities come to this material world in the spirit of enjoyment. But because they want to enjoy without Krishna, Krishna Bahirmukha Hai Bhoga Vancha Vancha Kare, they suffer birth, death, old age, and disease under the control of the illusory energy. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, however, no such causes are involved. His descent is an act of his pleasure potency. We should always remember this distinction between the Lord and the ordinary living entity, and not uselessly argue that the Lord cannot come. There are philosophers who do not believe in the Lord's incarnation and who ask, why should the Supreme Lord come? But the answer is, why should he not come? Why should he be controlled by the desire of the living entity? The Lord is free to do whatever he likes. Therefore, this verse says, Vina Vinodam Bhata Tarka Yamahe. It is only for his pleasure that he comes, although he does not need to come. When the living entities come to this world for material enjoyment, they are entangled in karma, and karma fall by the Lord's illusory energy. But if one seeks shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, one is again situated in his original liberated state. As stated here, Krita yatas tvayabha ya shrayat mani. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is always fearless. Because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna we can enjoy freedom in this material world. This idea is the reason we have become entangled. Now it is our duty to seek shelter again at the Lord's lotus feet. This shelter is described as abhaya, or fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease, and since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we are also not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. But we have become subject to these illusory problems because of our forgetfulness of Krishna and our position as his eternal servitors. Jivir Surupai Krishna Nitya Das, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 2108. Therefore, if we can practice devotional service by always thinking of the Lord, always glorifying him and always chanting about him, as described in text 37, Srinvan Grinan Samsmarayams Cha Chintayan, we will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. The demigods therefore encouraged Devaki not to fear Kamsa, but to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was already within her womb. Yeah. So we come, we're entangled. The Lord comes, he's not entangled. Right? And so they're just looking at it from their perspective. That's the whole difficulty. They're making up philosophies from their perspective. And that means philosophy will include your perspective. But it doesn't mean, it means that it will address your perspective, but it's not that your perspective becomes the philosophy. You know, that's not going to happen. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23. I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudeva in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, is revealed without any covering. Mm-hmm. So Krishna consciousness will reveal the Lord with no covering. It means as he is, you'll see. Mm-hmm. So that's the specialness. That's why Krishna Prabhupada gave Bhagavad Gita as it is, because that will reveal Krishna as he is. Because it's about revealing Krishna. We, as we were discussing yesterday, we tend to think that since we're absorbed in secondary, it's all about secondary. But we're trying to adjust our consciousness. No, it's about primary. Primary includes secondary, since secondary is expanding from Krishna. Right? And his transformations of his energies. But they're based on him. But we take it that this secondary and then these transformations, this is all in all. So we always try to look at everything from there. Right? So then that's the difficulty that comes up is Niyamagraha. We see it from the secondary point of view. Mm-hmm. We don't see how it pleases Krishna. We just see how it doesn't make sense to me, so I throw it out. Or, you know, I can follow rules, and so I'll follow the rule, but I still don't connect it to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So both are thrown out, because you'd say, but here, someone's following the rules. Why are we criticizing that position? Mm-hmm. Because they're only following the secondary aspect of the rule and not the primary of seeing it connected to Krishna. You do that, that's proper. But both of them are a weak position. They're the same thing. Just one is not connecting to Krishna and not performing the activity. The other is not connecting to Krishna but performing the activity. But thinking the activity itself is the all in all.
Yes. And now I also ask, how can we change that our vision?
By association. So we're associating with those persons who are not in that mentality. So in this, you know, then, you know, we see here is that the demigods, you know, are then talking with Devaki, you know, Srila Prabhupada's giving us this in the purports and the understanding. That's given by Sukadeva Goswami and Parikit Maharaj, which is given by Sukadeva Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi, which is then documented by Vyasadeva. You know, and then our acharyas are commenting. So we're associating with all these great personalities who are not having that difficulty. And by that continual discussion, that association, then we become, you know, freed from this illusion. So that's why the more we're hearing and chanting about the Lord from bona fide sources, then the more this will have an effect.
So, yes.
Maharaj, you're in the purport in one. The point that is mentioned is about taking shelter of the lotus feet.
Is about?
Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, so right. We become fearless. So in Jaiva Dharma, very important and nice point, Lord Thakur mentions about the eight qualities of the Lord, and amongst which is one is that he is dependable. That means a person who can, on whom we can rely on each and every circumstance.
Oh, okay.
That is the reason why we can take shelter of him and become fearless.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because you can depend upon him. Okay. Very nice. Okay. Synopsis of the Shakta doctrine. So now we did all the demigods and Shiva.
Yes.
Now we're getting to the Shaktas. Yes. Like that. Shakta, the doctrine of energy, power, the goddess. Consider the metaphysical reality as feminine and Parvati, goddess, as supreme. It includes a variety of goddesses, all considered aspects of the same supreme goddess. Right? So they're taking Durga and then all her expansions.
Yes.
You know, the Dasa Mahavidya and all this kind of thing. Shaktism has different sub-traditions, ranging from those focused on gracious Gauri to fierce Kali. And some Shakta sub-traditions associate the goddess with Shiva or Brahma or Vishnu. Right, so you have a whole variety going on in this soul.
Many philosophies.
Yeah, so many. Like that. Shaktas conceive the goddess as the supreme, ultimate, eternal reality of all existence. Right, so we see it's just a focus on this aspect, because we see in earlier discussions that Shankya and these other philosophies, they're only seeing up to Pradhan. So they're seeing Pradhan as supreme. But they're not worried about the personality and that kind of aspect, and then the whole expansions that are going on there. They're just taking the standard, you know, kind of Vedic description and going with that. But here you see is the Shaktas then take the personality that is there in the material energy, and focusing on that aspect, and then seeing everything from that viewpoint. Means as far as creation goes, yes, she's doing all the things, but it doesn't mean that that's the main viewpoint. Right? That's the difficulty. Shaktas conceive the goddess as the supreme, ultimate, eternal reality of all existence, or in short, the same as Brahman concept of the Vedantas. She is considered to be simultaneously the source of all creation, its embodiment, and the energy that animates and governs it. Right? So she is the energy that she does all, but what they leave out is what's the Shaktiman, right? And into which everything will ultimately dissolve. Right? They don't see that it goes back to Vishnu. The Shruti and Smriti texts are an important historical framework of the Shaktism tradition. In addition, it reveres the text Devi Mahatmya, the Devi Bhagavat Puran, and Shakta Upanishads, such as the Devi Upanishad. The Devi Mahatmya in particular is considered by the Shaktas to be as important as the Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. Right? So they have their own, you know. Srila Bhaktivinoda, footnote. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the following excerpt from the Jiva Dharma that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are to be considered the genuine Shaktas, right? So they claim they're Shaktas, but we're the actual Shaktas. Like that, you know. So, yeah. No bogus Shaktas. Okay, so this discussion. So Advaita. The potency of the Supreme is manifested in different ways. The potency that manifests the three modes is the material potency. She creates and destroys the material universes. Those are her duties. In the Puranas and Tantras, this potency is called by many names, such as Vishnu Maya, Mahamaya, and Maya. Allegorically, she is also called the mother of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the killer of Shumba and Nishumba, and other like names that describe her different activities. As long as he remains deeply enmeshed in his material consciousness, the soul is under her power. When he attains pure spiritual knowledge, the soul can understand the nature of his original spiritual form. Then he is freed from the ropes of Maya. Then he is under the power of the spiritual potency. Then he becomes happy. Digambar. Are you under the power of one of these potencies, or are you not? Advaita, yes, we are also a potency. We are Jiva Shakti, individual souls. When we become free from the ropes of the Maya potency, we are in the power of the spiritual potency. Digambar, then you are also a Shakta, a worshipper of the potency. Advaita, yes, the Vaishnavas are naturally Shaktas. We are the servants of Sri Radhika, who is the spiritual potency. Under her patronage, we worship and serve Lord Krishna, who is more of a Shakta than we, right? Because in other words, they go back to just material energy as the Shakta. We go back to the source of the material energy, right? The Surup Shakti, and of that the manifestation of Radharani. Right? So we're the ultimate Shaktis. I don't see any difference between the Shaktis and the Vaishnavas. They who do not take shelter of the spiritual potency, but only take shelter of the material potency, Maya, may be Shaktis, but they are not Vaishnavas. They are materialists. Right? So the path is the same, but they just stop. Yes. And because of that, then they're materialists, because they stop at the material energy.
Yes. Yes.
So then you'll call them Shaktis. Though technically we're Shaktis, but we don't generally use the title of it, but technically we are.
Yes.
Can we say that some of the processes that we studied, they are wrong?
Some of the?
Wrong. The processes of worship. Like those who worship the material. But this one is just not complete.
It means it's not complete, but because it's not complete, that's going to be the area that has the problem. So how much is based on the Veda, then that part is correct. And how much is not, that's the part that's not correct.
Like the Buddhists, they were totally wrong.
Yes.
But these guys, because we also say that we are the ultimate Shaktas as well.
Yes, but it still doesn't change the point. You know, just like if someone does these huge mathematical calculations and still makes a mistake, they're still not a good mathematician. You know what I'm saying? So everything coming from Krishna, nobody's doing anything that's outside of Krishna's, you know, potency. You know, and that. But the whole point is that doesn't mean that that's what we want to follow. Because following what they do, it gets you only to a certain point. It won't get you more. And you can say, well, we could follow them up to there, but how do you distinguish? How do you switch? So the point is why would you do that? It's just like if you could get on one bus outside the front gate and it'll end up in Calcutta, or you could get on a bus that'll take you to Dabulia, get on another bus that'll take you to Krishnagar, that'll take you to Ranagat, that will take you to Madhyam Gram, and that will take you into Dum Dum, that will then take you down to, you know. Why would you do that? You know? Because there's some difficulties that are there.
So they're stuck with the shadow potency. They don't come to the real potency.
No. Because everything has some element of reality to it, but how they're applying it is not. You know? Just like, let's say, the child. Now, if children eat, is that good? What if they just only eat chocolate? Yeah. You understand? So that aspect that they're eating is correct, but what they're eating is, you know. So that they're doing worship, you know, of the Lord's energy is correct, but what energy? You know? And it's not in connection with Krishna, so. That's why we just stick to our own thing. You know, because we may see similarities, and there's always going to be similarities, because it's Krishna's creation. You know, there always is overlap. What else is to work with? But that doesn't mean that now, therefore, because there's similarities, we have a friendship.
This Devi Bhagavat is the dominant sister?
For Shaktas. But not for us.
Who is the author of that?
I have no idea. Whether it's even an original scripture, or it's just somebody wrote it because they were... From what I understand is that many of these, they just take different things from different places in the scriptures, in the Puranas, and put it all in one place. And then they'll call it, you know, the Devi Bhagavat, or, you know, like this. When it's not an original scripture, it's just a compilation, but they'll present it as if it is, you know. But the problem is then things will be taken out of the context and that, because you won't get it in the context of the original story. So they'll only take that part they like. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. And so you won't see the complete picture. So it's just enough that supports what they're doing. Does that make sense?
So it's not necessary that Vasudev has written these things?
There's a good chance he did not write it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anytime you have a Puranic encyclopedia and they're quoting Devi Bhagavat, then we just go to the next quote. We don't bother with those. Like that. I think the latest one that's out now, is much of it's Devi Bhagavat. A lot of it's Devi Bhagavat. The Puranic encyclopedia.
Yes, yes.
Like that. A lot of it's quoting from there. But I remember seeing one in the 70s that it had nothing from Devi Bhagavat, but I think that's out of print. So different people have written, but, you know, because that's the problem with the Brahmins, is that they're good at the knowledge, but not as the money-making. So the publishers, if it sells, then they'll publish, and if it doesn't, they don't. So if the one with Devi Bhagavan in it sells better than the actual bona fide one, they'll sell the bogus one, you know, like that. They don't care, as long as it makes money.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, so it's telling me that if you go to, like up to Hrishikesh or in, what is it, Vishwanath? Varanasi.
Yes.
Like that. Shop owners there, because there's so many tourists coming from Israel. They actually know Hebrew, write things in, they can actually write in Hebrew and sell stuff that they know that they'll buy. Because there's so many, so they don't care. They'll just, if it makes money, they're good.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, it's authorized because it's mentioned in Manu that Vaishya should know multiple languages. You know, because whatever language you're working in, you should know that language. You know, if you're buying things, let's say, if you're in America, you're speaking in English, but you're buying in Mexico, you should know Spanish. Because if you don't, then you can get cheated and all that. Does that make sense? You know, but then if you go and sell it up in Canada where they speak French, then you should know French. So it's just you should know the languages you're dealing with. So then they're doing their thing. So that's the whole point, is they can sell it, they can make money, so why not? So, but unfortunately, it's supposed to be, you know, all this is controlled by Brahmins, but unfortunately, nowadays, it doesn't exactly work like that.
Maybe with the 10 times profit with the Israelis.
Good chance. But at the same time, as they are clever, so it's not going to be too much. I don't think that may be why they learn, because with the others, you don't know the language, you can still cheat them. But these guys, you have to understand that they are the European Marwaris. Like that.
I've never seen so much Hebrew outside of Israel.
Yeah, except here, yeah. Yeah. Anywhere else, they don't care.
Maybe Brooklyn, but that's max.
Brooklyn. Oh, okay. Oh, because it's a huge Hasidic community. Okay. They live in Brooklyn. Oh, okay. Yeah, probably stayed away from the Bronx, right? Okay.
He seems that the tendency is to take something from the Veda and to apply it for us.
Yes.
And to be to ignore Krishna more or less.
Yes, because we focus on the secondary.
Yes.
Like it was just someone was asking me some questions yesterday or the day before, and all this aspect that, you know, we're not getting to the mass of people because of our exotic presentation,
yes.
You know, exotic,
yes.
Meaning, you know, Indian,
yes.
And like that, then, but it's all a secondary. In this discussion, it's always about the secondary aspects.
Yes.
It's never about the primary, about pleasing Krishna. Because the point is that exotic pleases Krishna, why you wouldn't use it?
Yes.
But it's just going on the you know, the Ionian thing of relativity in the mass, so therefore, then, you know, what works for the masses, that's vox populi.
Yes.
You know, so it's not actually an elevated,
yes.
You know, position.
Yes.
It's about mass, it's about, you know, the people, it's about the secondary, it's
yes.
Not about the primary, about pleasing Krishna.
Yes.
So it struck me afterwards, because I was, you know, commenting on some aspects on that secondary, then I realizes the discussion actually is how what's going, this perspective is not about pleasing Krishna, because Prabhupada says we're selling diamonds, not glass. Mm-hmm. So it's understood. And diamonds, then one is protected, and two, not so many people come.
Yes.
So both Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur both made the point that if all the endeavor that they've done, you know, in their lifetime of preaching, if from that one pure devotee is made, they'll consider the mission successful.
Yes.
Right? And then this other view is taking that, no, unless it goes to the mass, it's not successful.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go by that, yes. Let's say in the you know, Western countries, generally they'll all identify as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is how much Christian are they? How much faith is there? How much practice is there? But if you ask them, they'll say they're Christian. But they don't go to church. They don't do anything that's technically Christian. You know what I'm saying? So if that's a success, then what real benefit is there? You know what I'm saying? Because very easily in there, being Christian, there can also be complete hedonists and complete, you know, materialists and, you know, completely be insensitive to others. And, you know, there's so many bad things that can come up like that. So, and one could say, oh, but in the devotees, we also see those bad qualities. So, but why is the cause of that? Because of not focusing on the primary. So when it's about pleasing Krishna, then these anomalies don't come up. But if it's about pleasing Krishna, why would we focus on the secondary? That's the weakness, is that the discussion is happening on the secondary because then, you know, it works there. You know, just like with the impersonalists or, you know, any of these, they will avoid the discussion on the level of Brahman and, you know, how you say, the soul, the illusion, Brahman. They'll avoid that particular point because that's where their philosophy falls apart. But if you keep it down lower, you know, bird, you know, green bird and a green tree and all that, then they're good. So, but you take it up to that higher, as no. So the same way in this kind of discussion, it's just what Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about, is that we're making a distinction based on the secondary and then fighting over that. When it's about the primary, developing love for Krishna. So if we're starting with that primary, then you'll start there, and then seeing that, then you'll view the secondary. Not use, see, it's about the primary, it's not about the secondary, therefore we can totally focus on the secondary and do whatever we want. No, that's still secondary. We haven't accepted the primary element, which is Krishna's pleasure.
But it's a big effort to always think about the primary.
But that's why all this is, these points are being made. You know, it's just like yesterday, the discussion, why after the 10th canto is 11th canto so technical? Because, you know, because you're thinking once you've got to that sweetness thing, then that's where it's going to finish. But the point is if we actually want to get there, we have to be able to tell what is sweetness and what is not. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, we could take something else. Yes, you know, giving in charity to a good cause is also nice. Or helping, you know, your friend in a time of need is also nice. Or, you know, doing the right thing at the right time. You know, so there's so many elements that'll be nice. You know, spending time, quality time with your family is also nice. So one won't make the distinction. So 11th canto is showing how to make that distinction. Right? And so, since, like it was pointed out, that, you know, it's a little dry, but that's because the topic is about how to figure out what's dry and remove that. So you have to be able to find the dryness, you know.
Doubt regarding this dryness.
Dryness.
Yeah. We need to figure out, you know, that the material world is really dry, and then we need to detach ourselves and connect ourselves to the spiritual. However, when we study, you know, like, let's say, for example, Prem, the different 8 levels of Prem, you know, until Mahava and all. And there are different technical things, you know, which we find in terms of the rasa scriptures. Now, because the devotees do not have an experience of that, that also is dry for them. So.
No, that's understandable. Not dry. dry means we can, you know, we understand it, but we're not interested.
Yeah, it is understandable, but it is.
No, it's not understandable. Don't go there. Don't tell me that people who say studying the levels of prema and technical and they understand it and they say it's dry.
No, they don't say
I
that.
I say 100% that it's not. They don't understand anything. So it's above their head. Therefore, it doesn't make sense. So they just don't go. They don't go there because they can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Dry means that it's there's no taste. Right? This is, it's above their ability to taste. Well, the other means it's in the realm where they can taste, but they don't like it. Does that make sense? There's a difference. You know, it's like you have, you know, a piece of bread with some butter on it, then you have a piece of bread that's been there for a couple of days with no butter on it. That's dry. But because you can't get at the, what did I say, croissant?
Croissant, yes.
Then don't say it's dry.
Don't be offensive.
Yes.
What is that?
That's the point. You don't know what that is. You can't say it's dry.
Because yesterday when I discussed this particular point of dryness with my friend, so she was saying that, you know, this is what she was reading, you know, and then she was not able to say, so even that is dry until and unless you come to the point. So I just think maybe I should ask you.
That, no. You see, there's also a difference there, is that the material world is dry. The other one seems dry because you're sick. Just like in jaundice, then things that are sweet taste bitter. But you have to be very, very careful about taking something here and then taking it up when we're very unqualified for that.
Yeah? Well, when we study, we always need to stand there and the bona fide acharya and to follow a step-by-step process.
Yes.
Not to pick here and...
No. That's why Prabhupada wanted us to study from, you know, the beginning to the end. And that's also the rule in scripture, is that you have to study a work from beginning to end. You don't go and just take what you want and this, because you'll take it out of context.
Yes. We make philosophy.
Yes, and then we'll make our own philosophy. Because that's what these bogus philosophies are doing.
Yes.
It's just like in a particular run of verses, then they're opening with about the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
And they're ending with that. And in the middle, they're talking about impersonal aspects. You know, how is Brahman and this and that. So the impersonals would go in and take those middle verses and leave the beginning and end. So because of that, then they end up with bogus philosophies.
Okay. Many times, when like devotees study such books on their own, they again misunderstand.
That's why it's... if the rule is if you can't understand it, you know, properly, then don't read it.
Yeah.
Right? If you're reading under guidance, means or Prabhupada's given the purports, the acharyas, then that's okay. But even reading the acharyas, if you can't understand in context of what Srila Prabhupada gives, then don't read it.
Yeah. Like that. And this is very safe, you know, where Maharaj, we are studying under you.
So it's not really me. We're studying from the acharyas here, because that's the main thing, because that's the difference. Who has Vedanta Sutra, where it's going into what the acharyas are saying.
Yes.
Like that. So that's the whole point. Okay. In the Narada Pancharatra, Goddess Durga explains, Tava Vakshi Radhaham Rase Vrindavane Vane. O Krishna, I am Radha, who stays on your chest during the Rasa dance in Vrindavan forest. Thus, from Durga Devi's words, we can understand that the Lord does not have two potencies. There's only one potency, who manifests herself as the spiritual potency, Radhika, and the material potency, Vishnu Maya. When the potency is free from the material mode, she is called the spiritual potency, and when she is within the sphere of the material mode, she is called the material potency, Jaya Dharma. Right? So for us, they're no different. It's the same person, but the manifestation on how it's one or the other, you have to be able to tell the difference.
Yes.
Like that, because we're worshipping Radha, not Maya.
Yes.
Right? But Radha, her shadow is this Maya, this Vishnu Maya.
Yes.
So she's only serving Krishna. But us being under her control is not service to Krishna. That we have to know.
Yes.
The current Adhikaran is significant as we have incorporated two different angles of enlightenment brought forth by the Acharyas. Srila Balade Vidyabhushan discusses the first and Srila Prabhupada discusses the second. Adhikarana 8. Okay, so now it's another. We've dealt with the others, the Pashupatas and that. So now 8. The Shaktas refuted. Udpat yasambhava adhikaranam. Sutra reference 2.2, 42-45. Adhikarana Prakashika. Here in this Adhikarana, the Sutrakar refutes the Shakta doctrine. They claim that goddess Durga Devi is all-knowing, self-satisfied, and the original source of creation. Right, so here, all-knowing, self-satisfied, and the original, those are all good qualities of Krishna. Because
yes.
You leave out Krishna, they have to go somewhere, because the scriptures say that.
Yes.
So then they'll attribute it to Durga.
Yes.
Right? When you go outside of the Veda, why they're less complete, because they don't have these Vedic statements, than to misapply. They just have no statements, so it's just whatever they dream up.
Yes, yes.
Right? And then according to their modes, then Krishna has them dream up their different philosophies.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? You know, so because of the mode, because they're sitting in a coffee shop, they come up with their philosophy. They have been sitting in a juice shop, you know, fresh juice shop and drinking orange juice, they might not have come up with that philosophy.
Yes.
Like that. So it's just according to their modes. And there are people in juice shops coming up with their own philosophies, right? You know, they're more new agey kind of things. So, yeah.
They don't have that much time.
They
don't have that much time. You know, the juice is not hot.
That's true. Work. So their philosophies are not as well developed. That's a very important aspect, right? But the coffee is very hot, right? And so, therefore, then it takes longer so they can think longer. Very important, see?
Mature state of speculation.
Yes, yes, yes. Not only that is, yeah, the juice shop, generally, you take the juice, you'll face the shop. You'll stand and face the shop. Or the other one, you'll be sitting on the chair and facing the street.
Yes.
And so then there'll be more stimulation, more variety. You can put it into more things and all that. You'll notice the people. While the other one, you just notice your juice and you go.
Yes.
Very important.
More personal, we can see the world.
No. yes, yes. Plus, they dress nicer, right? Okay. To this, the Vedantas explain that the Purusha injects Shakti. But the Shaktas maintain that this is impossible since Purusha has no senses. Right? Because they'll take it into Brahman. He has no senses, nothing, so he can't be doing anything with Shakti. Therefore, Shakti has to be doing everything herself. So even if they accept the principle of Brahman, right, they can't attribute any of this to Brahman because of their perspective of Brahman, like all the others. They just say, he has, you know, he's unlimited and unchanging.
Yes.
Right? So then because of that, then there can't be anything else, so then Shakti has to do everything. So we see it's not actually that much different than all these other schools. Just they focus more on it and their worship is there, while these others, their worship, you know, is not there.
Somehow they project that Brahman is lame, you know.
Brahma?
Brahman is lame.
But all of these, unless they're personalists, they all do. Right? They all do. The Brahma bodies is that everything's Brahman, so they don't worry about it, because it's all Brahman anyway, so it doesn't matter. But if they have any other kind of aspect, where they're not actually properly situated in one of these three levels of realization of the Lord, then they're going to have, it'll be bogus. You know, these others, the Brahma bodies is just not complete. It's correct, but it's only up to a particular level. But these other ones is actually, their conclusions are wrong. Because the Brahma bodies don't know there's beyond. Right? So for them it's just Brahman. So even Krishna as a person is Brahman. So they don't have a problem that he's transcendental. And that he's a person. Because we're persons and we're Brahman. So, you know, everything's Brahman. So they just don't think beyond that point. But these others then they'll criticize Krishna's position and this and that. So then that's, they're in a worse position. They're in a lower position. Okay. The Shaktas maintain that this is impossible since the Purusha has no senses. If Purusha has senses, he will be affected by karmas. Mm-hmm. Right? So a little similar like the Shaivites. Right? Yes. There has to be some connection, yes. I say. Yes. Shivan.
The Shaivites, always in the temple, they have a small corner for Shakti worship also. Like they worship both Shivji and Shakti also.
Yeah, but they'll focus on Shiva and Vyas will focus on Devi. You know, because, I mean, husband and wife, you kind of have to acknowledge something. These mistaken beliefs are refuted by Srila Vyasadeva as follows. The scriptures state that the Lord's senses are the cause of various objects. Right? Because otherwise, if he doesn't have senses, where do senses come from? The Lord's mind gives birth to the moon. His ears give birth to Vayu and Prana. His eyes give birth to the sun. And so forth. Hence, the Lord's senses are inconceivable in nature. Earlier was proved in Vedanta Sutra 143, Tad Abhinatvat Artavat, that sense pradhan is dependent on the supreme cause. Brahman, it has use, Artavat, or is capable of producing effects. Because it's dependent, that means then the Lord can use it in something. It produces effects by the glance of the Lord. It cannot do this independently, since it is inert. The Sutrakar also refutes the Shakta's objection that the Lord is without senses towards his concluding work in Vedanta Sutra 416. Arityadi matayas changa upapattehe. Also, we don't have a translation of that one?
I'll explain it.
Okay. Also, the Sutrakar later in Vedanta Sutra 63-64, Angeshu, Yata, Shraya, Bhava, and Shishtescha, confirms that the devotee should meditate on the qualities of the Lord's senses, because this is the teaching of Brahma, the secondary creator. For example, one should meditate on the Lord's soft smile, pleasing words in his mouth, merciful glance in his eyes, etc. Hence, the Lord possesses transcendental senses that grant his devotees liberation. The Sutrakar previously refuted the argument that if the Lord has senses, then he is subject to karma. In Vedanta Sutra 2.133, Lokavattu Lila Kaivalyam, by proving that out of his desire, the Lord performs activity of creation, but without any goal, and thus remains unaffected, unlike the ordinary jiva. Right? Because the jiva has a goal, that's why they become affected. The Lord has no goal, therefore he is unaffected. So when the jiva performs activities without desiring a goal or result, then they also become unaffected.
Yes.
Right? And the only way to do that is by doing it in connection to Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
Footnote 67. There's no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of actions of work. Bhagavad Gita 4.14. Thus, the Shaktas are erroneous and illogical since they contradict the Vedas. Footnote 68. Srila Jiva Goswami establishes the authenticity of the Pancharatra Agama. The forms of Shankarshan and others which are mentioned in Pancharatra as Jiva, Manas, and Ahankar are not Jivas. They are the presiding deities of the Jiva, Manas, and Ahankar, since all scriptures say they are equal to Vasudeva. Though equal, they manifest like lamps which are lit from an original lamp, Vasudeva. Right? So, they're equal, but they're still, Krishna's the origin.
Yes.
Right? They manifest in order to be present in these specific places. Because right, Krishna, he does so many things, right? Because he's working with his Ichashakti. But now, you need situations. It means for him to express his desire, which is self-fulfilling. That means then the situations and all the activities and results that come in those situations to support that desire are naturally manifest from that, his desire.
Yes.
Right? So that's your Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. Yes. So then, therefore, the Sankarshadprajumna Adiruddha, they manifest to create the environment to support the pastime of Vasudeva.
Yes.
So Vasudeva expands to create the environment in which he can interact with his devotees.
Yes.
At the same time, they're all Vishnu, so they themselves have their devotees and they interact with their devotees.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But the point is that these aspects that he expands to interact, that's because of his desire to interact with the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
But on the material platform, he has nothing to do. But because it's an overall pastime in which the jivas have the opportunity to come back to Godhead, therefore, then, he expands and takes up that specific work.
Yes.
That's why then he's given that particular name.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Krishna has all the qualities of Sankarshan, but because in the form of Sankarshan, he does specific work, therefore, he's given the name Sankarshan.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jainatai Gaurapinoda ki.